today in the second hour. Part two of my conversation with Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. The last episode, we had about half of it. The jumping off point was their new album, Wahoo, but finally having the chance to talk to Kathy and Marcy, there were so many things that I wanted to discuss with them. And a wonderful part two of our conversation with Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. You're taking that obligation to take what you saw and experienced and keeping it alive and keeping it fresh for further interpretation, but you're giving your impressions of what that original generation brought to you.
Yes, that's a beautiful position to be in. It's a beautiful way to be in music. But we also have the added honor of being able to treat people the way they treated us, right? In a welcoming way, pulling them in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see people trying to put dividers up, we understand that the older generation didn't do that.
And I think, you know, that part of us is exemplified in what just happened at the Red Hat Theater, which we curated, which was the tribute to Alice Gerard and Hazel Dickens.
Yes,
and
yes.
In planning that, there were a lot of goals in there. Obviously, tribute to Hazel and Alice. Alice was very actively included in this because she is at 85 still actively singing, playing, writing, organizing, advocating, teaching, connecting. She's doing all of those things. And then we've got Lori Lewis, who got a Grammy nomination for the Alice and Hazel Sessions,
mm-hmm.
fabulous bluegrass album, and who has been, I think, on the West Coast, an equal exemplifier of what Hazel and Alice stood for musically. And then we've got sort of Kathy and Marcy on the East Coast doing that and having worked with Lori on the Blue Rose album that came out in, I don't know, it's about 30 years ago on Sugar Hill Records.
I have it.
Really the first all-female instrumental and singing album. We didn't call it a bluegrass album then. We called it an acoustic country album. But one of the reasons we did that album, influenced by people like Hazel and Alice, is that at that time, all of the great next generation bluegrass boys, you know, from Jerry Douglas to Sam Bush to you name them, they were all doing jam albums. And there were never any women on those jam albums.
Oh, you're right.
And we're like, we need to highlight women in bluegrass. We need to do this. We need to put some people forward so it's not such an anomaly. So we have that in this tribute. Then we have the next generation, really almost two generations younger, Titania Hargrave, one of the most mind-bogglingly brilliant fiddlers of all styles, who has moved to Durham, North Carolina for the purpose of helping Alice Gerard with her archives and learning her music, etc. And then who is her music partner right now? It's Allison DeGroote, who we mentioned earlier.
That's right.
You know, bringing it all full circle. And last but not least, we included in this another young woman, Eliza Meyer, who I mentioned earlier, who has learned the Hazel and Alice repertoire. She's 16 years old. She loves the Carter family. She loves classic country. She's hung out with Alice. Alice sang on Eliza's album. And so basically we have this huge tribute that includes 16 to 85. I mean, we're talking about a 70-year span here.
Wow.
Of people who created, loved, disseminated, shared not only the music, but the ideology behind it, the ideology behind the fact that women deserve some credit in this music and that women are valuable in this music. And as you well know, there used to be a cigarette commercial saying it's been a long time, baby, and we're not there yet.
No, not by Kathy, and not by a long shot yet. To be equal partners in the recognition, not yet, but it's now a thing that we can talk about, and people can say, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Whereas before it was like, If I don't know, not that many years ago, the description you just went through may have just been, you know, words, but now we get it. And you talk about this new generation, all these people that you're mentioning and bringing into this show. Everybody knows them now, and I don't know if it's because of the ease of access to them. I think it's first and foremost phenomenal musicians, phenomenal singers. It's all that, but I also think it's. It may be that some of the music, although radio is dying slowly, maybe the music is more accessible. I don't know why I thought about that, but it seems to me that now most people listening to this program will know, catch at least half of the names that you put out.
Well, and the times they are changing, and they're going to keep on changing. Marcy had something she wanted to say.
Oh, sure, yeah, go.
Oh, thank you. And that's that. Eliza Meyer is not a teenager who found some country songs that she likes to sing. She is the real thing. She has been taking musical camp workshops from Alice since she was 8 years old. She was the youngest person that Alice let into a class at Swannanoa gathering. And she is so immersed in the music, it's unbelievable. So we're really proud of her. And in that sense, she wasn't born into a family doing country music, but she might as well have been. I mean, she's loved it since she was tiny. She's been exposed to it all her life. But at the age of 8, she couldn't stay away from an Alice workshop. She talked her way in, and we're really proud of her.
So that tribute for which we were given 50 minutes.
Not enough.
All of those ideologies together.
Not enough.
And... But it's never enough, especially when you want to honor the people whose shoulders you stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with all these people that you mentioned, Molly Tuttle and, you know, the first ladies of bluegrass, the first 5 women to win those instrumental categories in IBMA, you know, they're standing on Alison Krauss's shoulders.
Absolutely.
They're standing on other people's shoulders. And as long as we recognize that's the important part. And then the next important part, as you said, is starting to really bring more diversity and equity into all of this. That's another thing that I think is very important. The first thing that Alice Girard said before she sang at the Red Hat Theater was, I'm really glad to see that IBMA is starting to work more towards diversity and inclusion. Now,
and Kathy, you've been a big part of bringing that and keeping it in the forefront.
Basically, first through my work with Leadership Bluegrass, and then in a handful of workshops at IBMA in 2018, there were about 20 people, which is a lot, who gathered around the concept that we wanted to help IBMA drag itself into the 21st century here and start really dealing with how do we embrace diversity and inclusion.
Yep.
We went to a town hall meeting. I spoke on behalf of a group of people at the town hall meeting. We collectively put together, I think, a very strong proposal and wish list for IBMA to pay attention to that went to the board. And to the board's credit, they immediately created a diversity and inclusion task force. You know, this is a drop in the bucket of what needs to happen, but it's the place where it starts.
And
the task force began its work,
mm-hmm.
which I think is awesome. And that task force in diversity and inclusion, you know, when you look at the history of IBMA, and we've gone to many, but not all of them, the most riveting and important keynote that has ever been given at this conference was given by Rhiannon Giddens 3 years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're talking about a keynote that was given by someone who, number one, doesn't play a lick of bluegrass, isn't really a bluegrass musician, but thoroughly understands that the history of bluegrass comes from a very diverse place. And she challenged IBMA to start paying attention to that diversity. Now, at the same time, if IBMA wants to be more diverse, they're going to have to do the work to do that. And so I think they've begun to look at this and to start working at it. You know, and it's not just IBMA. I mean, you're known in that bluegrass world in terms of radio work, et cetera. But, you know, this is work that we do in all of the worlds that Marcy and I travel in. We do this work in the ukulele world. We do it with children's and family music. We do it with banjo camps. I have been advocating hard to some of the banjo camps in the last year to make sure that they have enough female teachers. There are certainly enough qualified female teachers. Many of these camps are run by guys who don't happen to notice that. We're working on that. And I think you're also going to see more of these camps run by women who want to see that equity happen. Because we know that that's not only important to women and girls who want to learn how to play, it's also important for the men and boys to see that women are competent.
Exactly. And to learn from those competent women.
Absolutely.
Because the skill set is so great, and if it's ignored because of where it's coming from, they're losing that into their own quiver of arrows, a cliche term, but I mean, it's not just because, but it's also, you need to learn these other things and this other approach to things, and this sound or this sentiment that's trying to be put out in the music. And by the way, I was at the town hall where you rebrought that very cogent description of what needed to happen in diversity. I guess that overlapped with my 4 years on the board. And yes, the board dealt with those issues, and I'm not on the board anymore as of last spring. But I know this much, there's a task force that still exists. So once you create a task force for diversity and a committee and people looking at it, once it's there, then they can keep approaching the topic and making it more relevant. I think that's what they're doing.
And I think, you know, let's not forget, Ralph Stanley learned how to play old-time clawhammer banjo from his mother.
Yes.
He says that on the album right before he plays a thriving rockin' version of Shout Little Lula.
Right.
Let's not forget that Grandpa Jones learned how to play clawhammer banjo from Cousin Emmy, who said it would work well for him in his career.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's remove the covers from all this stuff and get down to the real deal, which is, what is music really here for? It's to bring us up. It's to make us better. And I think what Marcy and I want to see in bluegrass is that it's everybody's job to bring everybody up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I keep looking at this album cover because the album Wahoo, which is on KathyMarcyMusic.com, was the impetus for me to finally get to talk to you. And it's a great album. I'll say more things about this in the broadcast of this conversation we're having, but this is what I really wanted to talk to both of you about. So
well, and of course, Wahoo is our least bluegrass album.
Oh, I know, but listen,
everything that we do musically is informed by everything else that we do.
That's right. That's
I can't play clawhammer ukulele without having a 45-year background in playing clawhammer banjo. You know, and very interesting to me, Steve, that amongst the for ukulele courses that I teach at ukulele festivals is clawhammer ukulele. I have two courses online that I teach that people can go to our website and get. And it's really amazing how many people want to adapt this old-time banjo style to the ukulele. And so there's an insane amount of crossover that happens here.
And I think with good music, it's going to happen. I think once you reach the level of it being good music, to me, and as I've said this before, people ask me why Unreal Bluegrass, because I don't like to get in the discussion what's covered or not. And I play all kinds of music on this show, and I get some responses. When Bailey has classical music albums, he comes to me and we talk about it, and I play cuts from it. It's not bluegrass, but it doesn't matter to me because it's excellent music, which is what I think that Wahoo is,
yeah,
and the music that you're doing.
That's
it's just,
right.
Yeah. I mean, so.
And, you know, I think that's something that we got from a lot of our mentors. You know, Marcy, in her insane virtuosity on so many different instruments, Marcy brought the cello banjo into the forefront. Now, Abigail Washburn plays a five-string cello banjo. Marcy's a four-string player. But it really, the seed for that, and that's central to the album that we did called Get Up and Do Right, which, by the way, is an Alice Gerard song. But that album is full of duets on five-string and cello banjo, and it's a great little story how Marcy got involved in the cello.
Well, Mike Seeger had a cello banjo, and I had never seen one.
From 1917.
He brought it to the studio with us. He wanted Kathy to play it like a bass. He was going to play five-string banjo, and I was going to play banjo uke. And we rocked out a tune. I had a really good time, but I was looking at that banjo, and I just couldn't believe how cool it was. I was, like, pulling at my heart. I had to try it. And after the recording, he let me try it. I started playing tunes on it, and he just looked surprised. He said, well, I've never seen anybody do that before. Maybe it should stay with you for a couple months, and something interesting might happen. So he let me borrow it. And I didn't know when he'd need it back, so Kathy and I immediately, like the first day, we filmed a couple videos and put them on YouTube. And then I didn't really look at the videos again, but I was focused on the banjo. And the videos took off. And I got a phone call a few months later from Goldtone, banjo companies out of Florida. They make other instruments too, but they just said, are you the girl that plays that weird banjo? And I thought they wanted to hire me for a gig or something. I said, well, yeah, I do other things, too. They said, well, we're interested in that banjo. We've got to make those banjos. So now I run into people playing cello banjo in old-time situations at festivals. Abigail, of course. And there's a punk band in Canada who plays one. It's just crazy what's happened with that instrument. And
Ricky Skaggs plays one, Tim O'Brien, Ry Cooter. Now, Marcy really, you know, if you listen to her, say, on the song we recorded, Chilly Winds, or another song that we recorded called Coleman's March, you can just really, really hear how she takes this instrument that was popular in... It maybe was never popular, but
it existed. Popular was a stretch, Kathy.
Yeah, okay. It was present in the early 1900s with banjo orchestras. And for your listeners who've never seen a cello banjo, it's a 14-inch pot. It's gigantic. And it's tuned exactly like a cello. And it's got this gorgeous, gorgeous sound. And, you know, Marcy, as a mandolin player and a ukulele player, she knew exactly what to do with four-string tunes like that. And, you know, it became a centerpiece of a lot of the music that we make. And an unusual sound. It's on a lot of film soundtracks now that Marcy has done with National Geographic and a bunch of other companies. And it's kind of... It gives us, you know, I think we're still always growing and experimenting, and it just, you know, it gave us another color in the coloring box, and it happened to be a color that worked beautifully for our duo sounds.
So we just saw Rhiannon Giddens' show, and she's playing it, and also her accompanist is playing it.
Francesco,
yeah.
They now own that first cello banjo that Mike brought to our studio to record with us. And he plays it in their show, and it's just gorgeous. So, you know, and what Goldtone did is they made this instrument accessible because there's a limited number of Gibsons out there, and not everybody wants to spend the money on a rare vintage Gibson instrument. And, in fact, Marcy owns a Gibson of the same era, but we travel with the Goldtone because, you know, it can stand. It's stable, and it can stand the travel.
And Francesco was playing a Goldtone version also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And credit to Goldtone. They do a lot of mainstream banjos, but they also have a whole different side of maybe not the greatest demand, although maybe the cello, banjo, four strings is getting that way, but dojos, all kinds of interesting little things, and that, I think gold tone might be the best at, well, I use the term diversifying their string instruments across the board.
Well, and I'll brag on Marcy for a second, because gold tone flew Marcy down there to do, to make demo videos of their instruments, and in 2 days, she made demo videos of 48 different instruments.
I was going to say 30, but see, you still blew me away on the CD count, so I can't get above 30, but I was going to guess 30, but I'm not, I am surprised by that number, but that's a perfect, well, that's a perfect combination is Marcy and Goldtone, because they have so many different little instruments that are like, yeah, that's kind of cool sounding. Go ahead, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's fine. It was just a lot of, we had a lot of fun. There were 2 long days, and then we drank margaritas afterwards. It was kind of all perfect on many ways.
Listen, I've kept you too long. I will talk more about the album in the shows where I'm gonna probably break this into a 2-part interview, which is good for you, and I think good for the listeners, but. I'm so glad to finally, we need to do this more often, talk to Kathy Fink and Marcy Marks, or between never and once, we're going to have to do this again so there's not an eternity.
We're
before.
Always ready.
I know.
It's a pleasure to talk to somebody who really understands the music and the value of the music and that
history,
you know, and frankly values a lot of the things that we stand for with the music.
Yes.
It's a communication tool. It's a community building tool, and it's great to talk to somebody who really embraces that.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Kathy Fink and Marcy Marks, or I would recommend. I don't do this often, but if you're around and someone can see you, go see Kathy Fink and Marcy Markster, because you're going to get all this information that you've just gotten here, plus all this incredibly played music and all this. I mean, it's literally, you'll go see them, and if they're just traveling if it's just Kathy and Marcy, you're going to think, well, there's 25 instruments, where's the rest of the band? They are the whole band, and they play them all so well, and they sing so well, and we only scratch the surface on that performance part, but I've seen you many times, and I know I first saw a cello banjo, Mark, and it was at an IBMA event in one of the side rooms, and I'd never seen such a large pot on a banjo, and you played it, and I thought, that's it. So I think even that, I remember the buzz going around. It was either early Nashville or late Louisville, I forget where it fell in, but I remember the buzz from that. So see, you get to see all kinds of new things and old things and everything combined in together to what can just be described as really good communicative music.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Well, we will do it again.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank both of you. We'll do this again. We'll do this again now that we know how to do it.
You don't have to wait 66 years.
All right, listen, I appreciate you so much. New album, Wahoo, that you'll hear samples of in the Unreal Bluegrass program, and you can find all these wonderful things at KathyMarcyMusic.com. Forget the www. You don't need those anymore. But
I think it's just KathyMarcy.com.
I look down. I can't read my handwriting. It's KathyMarcy.com. Thank you very much. All right, very good. Thanks. Listen, enjoy your day. I know you had a long day yesterday, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank
you for doing this work, Jeannie.
You're welcome. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.